It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey everybody, it's Weird Islanders, the podcast, back once again. My name is Dan, that is Mike. How are you this evening, Mike?
I'm good. This is a, it's going to be an interesting podcast, pretty excited for it. Fun guest that we've been trying to get on for a little bit here, and I think it's funny because we talk so much about the Barry Trotz era of the Islanders, but there is one season that we very rarely kind of dig our teeth into, and there's a reason for it, obviously, and it's this weird Islanders prime as an Islander. So I'm actually kind of excited to talk about this dark season here.
You know what it is? It's funny because we talk a lot about the playoffs of this season and the season after it, but not about the season, like the regular season. We don't talk about that much. It's really, everything starts for us kind of after the trade deadline, and we'll explain why when we talk about this Islander with our great guest. He is the managing editor of the venerable Pitchfork.com. He is Matthew Strauss. Matthew, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. Like Mike said, we've wanted to get you on for a while. Pitchfork is obviously an incredible site. It's been going on forever. It is notorious, perhaps, for its reviews, which are tough to get a good one sometimes, no matter who you are. Where is the connection between writing for Pitchfork and being an Islanders fan? Because I feel like there's a connection there. It's kind of maybe a little bit misunderstood. Maybe there's some people there that maybe don't give it quite the credit that it deserves. Maybe some people kind of look at you side-eyed when you say you work at Pitchfork. Is there a connection there? Is there like some common ground between the two things?
I hadn't thought of it that philosophically, but I think you could make the argument, you know, the everyone loves to hate, but you kind of have to pay attention to.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, we're gonna still make an impact, even if everyone's telling us that, you know, a different website should be doing better, a different website based in Toronto.
Right.
Something like that.
They're Canadian Pitchfork. Is it Pitchfork with a U? Like O U R?
Pitchfork.ca. I can
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I can check, and we can get some better coverage of Bieber and Tate McRae and all the NHL favorites.
That's right. I was gonna say they only cover Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah. I mean, there was that Canadian kind of indie rock boom of the 2000s. Yeah, like Wolf Parade, Arcade Fire, that. Right. So Feist. So there is those are the good side of it. I don't think we get too many Leaf fan musicians on the website though.
And there's definitely a tragically hip tag.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well. Yeah. There's some reverence for Gord Downie.
When I was in college, our floor hockey team, one of my college roommates for his senior thesis project, made a 24/7 kind of satire about our floor hockey team because it was during the heyday of the Penguins Capitals one that was on HBO, and that song by Wolf Parade, I'll Believe in Anything, that was like the theme song of our hockumentary, if you will. And so Wolf Parade has a special place
that's cool.
In my heart. And I did, before we do get into the Weird Islanders, I wanted to kind of use this opening segment to talk about some great Islander moments, I guess, in music history. There'd be Loudon Wainwright wearing an Islander jersey on an album cover, or Robert Smith, right? That's the Cure lead singer.
Absolutely. Yeah, Robert Smith.
With the Fisherman jersey.
Yeah. MF Doom has also been known to rock an Islander's jersey. And just, you'll find the most random guys in them. Like, we have our daily rap column, The Ones, written by Alphonse Pierre. I remember once a year or so ago, this random Detroit rapper named WB Nutty filmed a music video that Alphonse wrote about, and Nutty was wearing one of the orange alternates from the 2000s.
Oh my gosh. That's a crazy so pull. Oh my
you
gosh.
You will find the most random. I've seen rappers in like Tavares jerseys, of course. You know, I feel like you could just get those on discount at Modell's at a point.
I'm surprised Snoop Dogg hasn't been filmed in an Islanders jersey, because he is a legit hockey fan.
Yeah. He's done the Kings. He's done the Penguins famously. I guess was it the Senators he was in on when they were doing all that press?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I saw Freddie Gibbs in the city 6 years ago, 7 years ago. And I knew he always would wear a jersey, and a local jersey. And I was seeing him in the city, I think like at the High Line or something. And I knew he wasn't going to wear an Islanders jersey, but I still wore, and it was pretty hot out, I still wore my Islanders jersey, hoping that he would be wearing one. And I was like, maybe I can get like a jersey swap with Freddie Gibbs, but he ended up wearing. And I tipped my cap to him, because it was a great jersey for him and his kind of ethos to be wearing. He was wearing a Darryl Strawberry, like 86 Mets.
Nice.
Jersey. Very nice. And he looked incredible. And he didn't wear the jersey very long. It took about 30 seconds for him to throw it into the crowd and just go the rest of the concert shirtless. But
that's
That's my guy, Freddie.
Very cool. Well, nobody beats Robert Smith to me, because he's wearing the Fisherman. Like, that's just,
I mean, that picture should be up at UBS Arena. It is
really should.
Gorgeous, gorgeous picture.
Ugh. So much dissonance all in one picture. Yeah. But in your time, I mean, you've been at Pitchfork for about 10 years now, and I mean, you've written reviews for Arctic Monkeys, Post Malone, Childish Gambino, Bon Iver, like, and some guy named Billy Joel, apparently, Drake. Is there, do you have like sort of a Pitchfork moment where you've given a score that seems kind of harsh, and maybe somebody has taken up with you, like, yeah, how come you gave this score to this? Like, is there a lot of that, or have you mostly kind of avoided that sort of result?
I've been lucky to avoid controversy. I did give out a notoriously low score in 2022 to Jack Harlow's album, Come Home, The Kids Miss You. I don't know how familiar Islanders fans or Islanders anxiety listeners are with young Jack Harlow, but he's a mediocre white rapper from Louisville, Kentucky. And I gave his album a 2.9. And the reason I said I haven't really been met with controversy is because everyone kind of agreed with it. Anyone who got in touch with me about it was like, thank you for panning that. Like, you said that's what needed to be said. Like, even, my wife's little cousin, who was in high school at the time, like, she even was aware of it. She doesn't really read Pitchfork, but like, it was on TikTok and things like that. So that was probably my most notorious moment. Nice. Like I met someone at a wedding once and they were like, oh, you wrote that? And I was like, yeah, that was me.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. No, that's good. Hey, listen, sometimes, you know, sometimes they're not all home runs. Let's put it that way. You know, Jack Harlow's got enough hits that I think he can survive. But sometimes, hey, you were right. So good work.
Thank you. I thought that guy was Australian because during the Australian Football League playoffs, I think he was in a box or somebody. Maybe he was just touring over there.
He's just kind of always everywhere. I didn't even know he was a rapper. I didn't just know him as somebody who's always kind of around. Like,
It's an Australian sounding name too.
It is. His real name is Jackman too, which is even more Australian.
Yeah, more Australian. Yeah.
He performed at the halftime of the Lions Thanksgiving game this year.
Oh.
And so like other people were like, what is this guy doing here? Like, we don't understand.
That's pretty funny.
This is a podcast of rabbit holes and, but not to take us on an Australian Football League rabbit hole, but, the Grand Finals, which is their Super Bowl, they had Kiss as their pregame concert this year in like the blistering Melbourne heat at like 1 p.m. in the afternoon because they kick off around 2:30 local time. And watching, I've never seen or really listened to Kiss at all, and I always respect acts or teams or anyone with a cult devoted diehard following, you know, people who look at other fans and say like, oh, you get it, and that means I like you. I started to get it by watching them play that exact kind of mini concert. It was insane to watch that. They went from like the they played like a unofficial, not Kiss, but some lady sang like the unofficial Australian national anthem.
Right.
And it was like with one of those long horn kind of things. I want to call it a didgeridoo. I don't know if it is, and I'm sorry if that's offensive, but that's what it looked like. It was just this long horn, and then so that song played, and then like the lights just went out, and then all this fire started blasting, and then these guys came out and started singing like I want to rock or whatever. Right. The Kiss song. It was the most bizarre thing.
That's amazing.
And it was, you know, 2 a.m. local time. I'm watching this and I alone in my den, and I'm you know, just one of those moments where you kind of question I question where the hell, what am I doing? But listen, great game.
I am not afraid. I am not ashamed to say Kiss, Madison Square Garden, 1996, best concert I've ever been to. Their first reunion tour with the original four members. We thought that was it. And then they toured for another 20 years after with a bunch of other dudes. But great. My friend got Gene Simmons' blood on him. It was great. Fake. I tell that story to my daughter and she's like, wait, he was bleeding? I'm like, oh, it's fake. It's, he's spitting fire. It's blood. It's great. It's Kiss. Anyway. I'm going to put a link to Matthew's reviews. Obviously everybody knows where Pitchfork is, but you should check it out. And again, I was kidding before. The Billy Joel one is great because you talk about the history of The Stranger, how great the album is itself, obviously, but you do of course mention Billy Joel's proto metal Attila album, which is an incredible, incredible deep cut that I don't think enough people know about, and that people should seek it out because it is truly bizarre.
Oh, yeah. First, thank you for reading in the kind words.
No, I did.
I don't know, for any metal fans out there, apparently Attila, they're credited with kind of coming up with the blast beat, which is like the basis of metal drumming, if I'm not incorrect. So, you know, you think he's just the piano man, but you know, he's a heavy metal legend.
Well, listen, if you could listen to that album long enough to hear the blast beats, you are a true metalhead, and I don't think I could do it, but it's great. You should check it out. And again, read all of Matthew's reviews. They're right there. I'll put a link there. But we are here to talk about something even more bizarre, a true Weird Islander who is still playing and came from a very bizarre, like Mike said, his heyday with the Islanders was a very bizarre time that is still very much fresh in our memory. So Matthew Strauss, will you please reveal the subject of tonight's episode of Weird Islanders, the podcast?
Yeah, tonight we're going to be talking about center named Austin Czarnik.
And I guarantee there are people thinking like, wait, Austin Czarnik qualifies to be a Weird Islander? Buddy, you better believe he qualifies. But he's probably one of the weirdest Islanders we've seen in a long time, even though he only played a couple of years ago with them. Before we get all into it, reminder that we are on Patreon, patreon.com/IslandersAnxiety. You get ad-free episodes of this podcast, plus bonus podcasts, written posts, and a whole lot more. So sign up today, patreon.com/IslandersAnxiety. Okay, we showed you the list. It's got 200-300 some odd guys on it. Austin Czarnik was the guy who jumped out at you. So what is about Austin Czarnik that really kind of drew you in as far as a Weird Islander you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, and I hope to make this sound as grandiose as possible for a guy who played, 15 games with the Islanders. But yes. I really think he represents, at least for this Lou Lamoriello era, I think he represents everything the Islanders are and everything that the Islanders are never. So Austin Zarnik, you know, he joined the team at the same time as Grant Hutton, or at least Hutton got re-signed. Still under contract for several more years. And he joined during that shortened COVID season, hardly played, and played a bit more in the disastrous 21-22 season, which I kind of think of as more of the COVID season, since that's when everybody on the Islanders got COVID.
True.
And, you know, I think he represents everything the Islanders are not, because we never get guys like Austin Zarnik who actually end up doing anything. And like he should be doing something while he's with the Islanders, and he just didn't. Mm-hmm. But before we get more into kind of what he did, I'm kind of thinking like the Vegas game that the Islanders played, the second or third game with Patrick Waugh, where like Sheldon Rempel scored a power play goal for Vegas. Like Sheldon Rempel is like, I'd never heard of him. He's like an AHL journeyman. He comes up, he scores the game winning power play goal. Like that's the sort of thing that players on other teams seem to do all the time to the Islanders. But nobody ever seems to be able to do when they're actually on the Islanders. Like it's the sort of thing you tweet out, Dan, like congratulations to someone like Sheldon Rempel on his game winning goal tonight. Yeah. Cause we know it's going to happen, and it's just never going to happen if he's in an Islanders jersey.
No, that's a great point.
That's a great way to look at it. Yeah. Here we are. Weird Islanders, the podcast, touching them all. Mm. Wolf Parade, Kiss. And of course, tying it all together with our Austin Zarnik. So that's why you listen to this podcast, to really just touch them all. I think that the thing that sticks out to me the most about his tenure is in like the big picture sense is exactly what you were saying, Matt. Like when the Islanders started to rely on him more and out of necessity, my mind went back to the PA Parento signings, the Michael Grabner moves, and the difference between those and those guys and Zarnik and players who've kind of come and gone with this era is like the Islanders were supposed to be competitive. So there was no, like, Michael Grabner was worked out because of a couple of reasons. One, he was incredibly talented and had the best wheels in the NHL at the time. But the most important thing there was an opportunity. Yeah. With Zarnik, like, he didn't have an opportunity at first, and then the opportunity opened up out of necessity, and the Islanders needed him. Like the Islanders, if the Islanders were going to salvage that absolutely cursed season, or even come close to salvaging it, like Austin Zarnik became really important, and that is horrible. That is not, you don't want Austin Zarnik to be a really important piece of the puzzle, but because of guys going in and out of the lineup and the Islanders just getting absolutely black magicked out of any hope in that season, like you hate to say it because he's an AHL like tweener, but he kind of just became a pretty disappointing footnote for the Islanders in this era, because it wasn't like I expected more, but I hoped for a lot more out of him, and it never was coming.
Right. Well, like Matthew said, like his AHL numbers, even to this day, remain really, really good. We'll talk about that in a second. He's kind of a quintessential, what they call the quadruple A player. Like he's really good in the AHL, and then he comes up to the NHL and he doesn't really do anything. But like he said, you know, the Islanders never have these guys where they get, you know, they're good in the AHL and they come up and they're good here. It doesn't really work that way. Usually they're good down there and they come up here and they kind of disappear into the ether. But let's talk about Austin Zarnik. I'm going to try and make it through this entire episode without calling him Austin Matthews, by the way. I've almost already tripped myself twice. So Austin Zarnik has a pretty interesting kind of path well before he came to the Islanders. So he's an undrafted player. He's out of Detroit, which we'll talk about again in a little while. And he signs with Boston in 2015 and plays a bunch of years for the Providence Bruins again. Good numbers down there in Providence. You know, I mean, he had 20 goals 1 year, 25 another year. Four years in the AHL is a lot. And I guess the Bruins let him go, and he signs with Calgary. And this was where he really started to make some hay. And this is where, again, like, you know, guys like that never had to do this for the Islanders. Like, he got called up for the Flames in 2018-19, plays 54 games, so well over half the season, scores 6 goals, 12 assists, 18 points. Like, that's not bad for a depth player to get, you know, 6 goals and 18 points out of a guy who was in the A. Not too bad. He spent a lot of time in Stockton in the AHL too. But that's a pretty good season for the Flames there. Matthew, did you have any recognition of Austin Zarnik beforehand? Like, were you like cognizant that this guy out in Calgary was having a pretty good season out of nowhere, or wasn't until he hit the Islanders that you actually noticed he was a person?
Yeah, I mean, I would not have known Austin Zarnik at all. Did not know him. Doing, you know, kind of looking back at who he is, you mentioned he had a good season with the Flames. He scored a game-winning goal against the Islanders.
That
kind of underscores the whole, like, these guys do it to us all the time, and we can't get it. Yeah.
Pucks played up the boards, back into the Calgary zone. Mark Giordano's there. Over to Anderson. He's bumped, but Jankowski gets the puck. Zarnik breaks through. Jankowski shot. Rebound. They score! That rebound looked like it went in off Komarov. And the Flames are back on top.
Mark Jankowski just rifles it at the net. Zarnik is going there. So is Bennett. And I think it's Komarov that bats this in.
He's played 5 career games against the Islanders. He's got 2 points.
Like, oh my God.
Both of those Flames games, he had a goal in one and an assist in the other. He had 5 Jeez. Total points with the Islanders.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So
that is insane.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where, no, I mean, I wouldn't have thought anything of an Austin Zarnik signing, but it's kind of like what you were saying, Mike, where he was disappointing. And it's like, yeah, because I remember when he went on waivers, which we could talk about kind of the weirdness of that at a point, but there was this feeling like, oh my God, like we just lost a really important player. Like, people talking about, oh my gosh, it should have been Ross Johnson on waivers. Like, what are we going to do without Austin Zarnik? Mm-hmm. But then you look back at it and it's like, he actually didn't do very much.
The one thing I remember was I know we'll probably talk about it, but he got called up and bumped up to the top line.
Mm-hmm.
And played with Matt Barzal. And I remember after the game, because Zarnik played well, I think he scored, if I'm not mistaken.
Drops it off for Zarnik. Zarnik, a little deeper for Barzal, trying to shake past Chychrun. Barzal got top side, still along the perimeter. Seam pass Mayfield, net score! What a feed from Scott Mayfield. Zarnik to the back of the net. 2-0 the Isles in a hurry.
Talk about some slick passing there. Goodness. Zarnik starts it out of his own end, Brendan, with a beautiful backhand pass in the middle of the ice, and then the Islanders are able to get up and main control. I mean, look at the support. Barzal just stays right there. He's really got his edges going tonight. Keeps the feet moving, takes a little look. Zarnik moves off to the side, but Mayfield gets Barzal's pass, and look at this. Got his head up all the way. And right on the stick. Anders Lee had a little co-headed too, but it's Zarnik that gets it. But what a terrific play all the way up the ice by the Islanders, and a quick strike offense for the Islanders with a couple of quick goals. But
Barzal was talking about how he like kind of fit or something. 2 weeks later, it was over. Like, it was just done. Like, you're like, Matt, love Matt Barzal. I love everything about the guy. But I think he was stretching the truth there. And I think the fact that he's basically had a better career against the Islanders than with the Islanders in his NHL career, is, man, that is, like you said, he kind of represents everything that the Islanders are in the darkness, here. This is that, I can't believe I forgot that he scored against the Islanders.
I know.
That's makes too much sense.
but yeah, so all right, so after a season or two with Calgary, he did spend, again, most of his second season there. After that pretty good depth season, spent the next season mostly in Stockton, only played a handful of games for the Flames, but then they let him go, and here he comes signing with the Islanders. Now, this is where we get to what Mike was talking about before. This would have been prior to the 2020-21 season, which, as many of you will remember, was a half season because of COVID. You know, obviously there was in the bubble. in September of that year, the Islanders went all the way to the semifinals. They had then had off until January, and they came back. And this was the year that they played, was it 48 games or 56 games, I think? I forget what it was.
Yeah, 56.
56 games. And then, but, and I forgot this until I did the research here, that they had the taxi squad. And yep. So they had a bunch of dudes who would normally have been in the AHL playing for Bridgeport with the Islanders, and they didn't play a whole lot. And apparently Austin Zarnik got into 4 games during this 56 game season. And I completely forgot about, did you guys have any recollection of him playing 4 games in that half season? We're going to talk a lot about this season, but I did not.
Yeah. For me, like his taxi squad presence, you know, it's kind of negligible also because that was a good season. And it was like, you know, we didn't have to rely on guys like Austin Zarnik. He played the role that someone like him or him himself is supposed to play. You know, you come in, you get some ice time, like you go back to the taxi squad. It's really like it gets bad when you're looking at first line Austin Zarnik. And I feel like I'm being mean to Austin Zarnik. I really like Austin Zarnik. I was among the people who was really disappointed when he was put on waivers.
Well, hold on. We can't get to that. That's the big turning point in the tale. Yeah. We can't get there yet. But I mean, Mike, this is what you were talking about before, where we talked. I mean, obviously we podcasted throughout the entire thing, and we still talk about this season, but we talk about the playoff of this season. And we talk about getting the big thing about this regular season was two things, really. Anders Lee getting hurt and Kyle Palmieri getting traded for. That's it. Yeah. And then Travis Ajak, obviously, and then the playoffs in that year. But we don't really talk about this regular season, A, because it's not a time that most people really want to revisit, including me. But B, it was just such a bizarre season. Like, just, you know, they were terrible for a while. Then they were good. Then Lee gets hurt. Then Palmieri shows up. He can't score. They make the playoffs and they go on the crazy run. Like, it's a very weird time to remember that apparently included Austin Zarnik, which we all kind of forgot about. Like, right? Like, I mean, you've thought about this, that this has been that was a very strange season to remember.
I remember very well the Islanders started that season with 3 wins, and they probably won like 3 of their first 10 or so. Mm-hmm. And there was a moment in the season, the Islanders were playing the Capitals, where they did something that they've been doing a lot this season. At least to this point, hopefully it turns around, which is they played like assholes and they had one of their bottom six, although he was a first liner in the playoff run, one of their, you know, kind of depth players really shoot them in the foot, which was the Leo Komarov game against the Capitals where he I think he had a turnover and then like a major penalty to blow a game to Washington. And it was, everyone was on Trotz's case because they're like, all right, we got scratch Leo. That's it. The Leo experience is over. And then Komarov came out and played the next game and I think was terrible again. But yeah, they turned the season around. They went on a, like, what became a kind of a patented point streak for them under Trotz when in the middle of that year just looked like a machine. And I think what Matthew was saying is a big part of it, which is that players like Austin Zarnik, for the most part, were doing what they were supposed to do, which was sitting in the press box. Like, you know, we didn't have to rely on Austin Zarnik or Dmytro Timoshov to play big roles here. It was the team was very static in a good way. They didn't deal with too many injury issues, I think, that year, if I remember correctly, besides Lee. And like, just things were generally good. And when you look at that season and you even look at this year, which, or last year, and you're just like, what's the difference here? Why aren't the Islanders playing at that kind of point percentage pace? And I think Austin Zarnik ends up becoming a pretty good representation because that player ends up being, you know, eating popcorn, right? Like, he's sitting and watching and he's in the, I know that they had taxi squads back then, so it's a little different, but still, whereas this year, where the Sam Bolduc is on pace to play like 65 games this year, and we're seeing, you know, Julien Gauthier and Oliver Wahlstrom and Hudson Fashion kind of just like rotate. Nobody can really hang on to a position there. I mean, you could throw Matt Martin into that list too. So it's really the next season too that this becomes a problem, and Zarnik becomes a representation of a different, you know, the other side of the coin. But this season, the regular season here, it ended up just it was such a pleasant experience and a surprise, because when the Islanders were in that early season funk, I was like, I'm not going to be able to deal with this, because not only is the team does the team suck, but there's nobody in the crowd. It's kind of depressing if your team is bad. And then they got good, and all of a sudden it became one of, if not my favorite, season and playoff run ever. I mean, this thing changed on a dime, and Austin Zarnik had almost nothing to do with it.
That's true. Yeah,
which is important. This is an important thing to remember, that like these kind of players just did what they had to do by wearing a suit every game.
Yeah, it's true. Once that team got on a roll, they were very hard to stop. And it seemed for a minute that Lee's injury was going to put a stop to all of it, but getting Palmieri, and they caught fire despite the fact that Palmieri couldn't score at all. I mean, Matthew, before we move on, like, what were your memories of that season? Like, again, it's not a time I particularly care to go back and remember, aside from the joy that the Islanders playoff run brought me, but I mean, it's certainly one that I don't think we'll forget anytime soon.
Yeah. I mean, I also, of course, the playoff run really makes up for the kind of irrelevant regular season. And I feel like another part of it is we played the same teams over and over and over.
Yes.
Because they had weird sponsored East Division, right, or whatever it was, right, called. And so you don't
just really... a steady diet of Flyers over and over and over and over again. Yeah,
you don't get the same kind of terror that you get from like the Alberta road trip or something, right, like that, right, where there's kind of a rhythm to the season. It was just like, oh, we're playing Boston, like, all right, and they played well, and and like everybody's saying how great it is to get Kyle Palmieri, and like everything's on the up and up with the Islanders. So that was kind of a, like, I have fond memories of that season. I don't remember being like overly stressed out, which is nice, because that's pretty much the overwhelming feeling of the last couple of years.
Right.
So yeah. And like I said, I mean, I don't have any memory of the games Austin Zarnik played. No, apparently in the first game he played, Dmytro Timoshov was in the lineup. So that's a good one from you, Mike.
Both of them.
Yeah. But he played his important role. He was an important part of the team, and like I would be really upset if I knew more about 2021 season Austin Zarnik.
Yeah, it looks like his I pulled up his game log from 2020-2021, and so four games, January 31st, then almost a month later, and then that stint he played two in a row. An unbelievable stat line here. No goals, no assists, no points. He's a minus one, two shots on goal, and seven face-off wins. And it wasn't like he didn't play at all. I mean, he was around, I don't know, looks like if I do the quick math here, probably an average of like 13 minutes of time on ice. Because this is the kind of guy, too, that Barry Trotz, you just knew was going to like. Like, right. No frills, kind of fourth line center, a kind of player that you can go outside on a tree and pick off the tree in the NHL. But to Trotz, like, these guys are almost huge assets. Like, oh God, I got a guy who's not going to make a mistake. Because if you look, the most important part of this price stat line is that in his 60-ish shifts with the Islanders that season, he didn't take a penalty and blocked a couple shots. So that's and had a really good faceoff percentage. So Trotz was just over the moon about that kind of stuff, and probably bookmarked it for the next season, saying, this guy's earned my trust.
Yeah. Well, Trotz wasn't the only Islanders coach who was a fan of Austin Zarnik. We'll get to him in a second. it came up in the next season. So four games that season. Then the Islanders obviously go on another great run. The following offseason, they are touted by many to be a Stanley Cup contender. They've come close. This is the year. They got Zach Parise. They've got Zdeno Chara. Everything's coming up Islanders. All they got to do is, get to the playoffs again and probably pull the same magic that they've pulled off before. And then the hockey gods just spit in our faces and said, no, that's not how it's going to go down. Obviously, the 21-22 season was the one of the interminable road trip to start the season. The UBS Arena opening night roster that was basically the Bridgeport Islanders long losing streaks, as Matthew said before, this is kind of the real COVID season because the Islanders had three COVID outbreaks. They never got on track. It was an absolutely terrible season. It was obviously the last one for Trotz. His mom passed away early in January, and Lane Lambert took over behind the bench. By this point, Zarnik was in the lineup and got some high praise for his speed and trustworthiness and a touch of grit from the now ex-Islanders coach, Lane Lambert. What's funny to me about this season is that Zarnik was not in that incredible bizarro land lineup that opened up UBS Arena. I could have swore he was, because that was like Otto Koivula was on that roster. Grant Hutton, like you mentioned before, was on that roster. Austin Zarnik was not. He was still in Bridgeport at the time, and he didn't get in until January. But this is where he really made his heyday as an Islander. 11 games that season, 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points, as Matt mentioned before. Yeah, this is it. This is his time to shine as an Islander. And as Mike said, and as you guys have been saying, this is the problem. Like, now the Islanders are dependent on guys like Austin Zarnik because everybody's got COVID or they're hurt or they got no place to play. And guys like Austin Zarnik didn't really kind of fill the void. Is this season why you picked him, Matt? Is this like the one that sticks out to you?
Yeah, you know, this 21-22 season, like you said, Dan, there was so much hope for it.
Oh, yeah.
I remember all being so excited, reading all the preseason stuff. You know, it was either ESPN or The Athletic that was even like top broadcasting teams in the league. And like Brendan and Butch were at the top. Like, you know, we got our Stanley Cup predictions. We got our Sorokin-Varlamov tandem.
Yeah.
And even the broadcasting team was considered the best in the league, which they still are.
Coming up.
That everything looked great. You know, Lou kept his contracts in the drawer that offseason, if I recall. Like, everything was great. And then it's just the worst possible season you could ever imagine. I mean, it's again kind of talking about the way things happen for other teams that don't happen for the Islanders. Like, when the league put on the calendar, like, okay, we're going to send you guys on the road and you'll just start UBS, you know, what was it, like 15 games into the season, you know, other teams, okay, you know, maybe we'll go like 7-8 or something. It's like they don't realize the Islanders don't win on the road. Like, that's just not a thing that happens. And so we were already completely sunk by then. And so, yeah, for me, Austin Zarnik, you know, epitomizes like all those hopes just completely drained. And kind of the false hope we got from guys like him. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned you could have sworn he was in the opening UBS lineup, because I thought the same thing. And like, I'm looking at the lineup and it's like the only kind of fill-in guys are like Andy Andreoff, Richard Ponick, Grant Hutton, and then like guys who are kind of in and out, like Bellows, Aho, Robin Salo, who astonishingly Salo led in ice time that game, had over 21 minutes, over 17 minutes even strength. So like, we were really leaning on him, and it was a -2.
Of course it was.
But it's like, you know, I'm looking back at that game thinking like, oh, that's a pretty good lineup. Like, we probably should have won that game.
Yeah. Like,
he for me, like, when I think of that season and how poorly everything went, like, I think of guys like Austin Zarnik and just what could have been and what was never going to be, no matter how hard we tried.
Seriously.
I think if you were to ask me maybe what my best day ever as an Islander fan was, it was probably the day before that season started. Because never have I experienced an off season where hope was as high as that one was, and just the vibrations were just so good. Like Dan said, the Parisi writing that wrong, writing the Chara wrong, the team being everybody's trendy sleeper pick, the broadcasting team note is just the cherry on top.
Yeah, new arena. Palmieri had signed the extension. Yes. Like,
yeah, and the contracts in the drawer. Remember, like that is such a hilarious time, because that was the peak of Lou. Like, we just Beauvillier, Parisi, Palmieri. I'm missing one. I mean, I think Sorokin too. Right? Like
Sorokin.
Right. Yeah, and we just assumed that these guys were here. It was as tight a ship as I've ever seen. You know, Lou, I think above Lou, Lou's desk in his office. It doesn't say loose lips sink ships. It says Lou with the apostrophe S. Loose lips sink ship. That offseason was great. And the Islanders actually started that season really well. Dan, I think we went deep into this one article on Sportsnet after they beat Vegas and started the season like 5-2-2. And this guy, I can't remember who it was, but he was writing like about how all the Canadiens teams should just wish they were like the Islanders. It's just like ho hum. The Islanders are here. They take care of their business. And then from that point on, like that's when the hockey gods woke up and were like, wait, whoa. The Chara thing was fine. The Parisi thing was fine. The fact that you got your home is okay.
Right.
But when Sportsnet starts writing this kind of stuff about the Islanders, we gotta step in here and start using our mystical powers. And I think Zarnik ends up representing how I felt this entire season. Matthew, we're kind of alluding to this, which is we were clinging on to anything for hope in this season because the Islanders were so far back in terms of games played. Mm. And we were doing all this mental gymnastics about, okay, if this, they can do, you know, win 8 in a row here, the Capitals lose 3 in a row, the Penguins lose 6 in a row or whatever. Like, we're right back in this thing if we win our games in hand. And in the other side of that equation was like, and look, this Austin Zarnik guy, if he clicks, and that fills this hole. And then all of a sudden, like, this team looks a lot better, even though Josh Bailey's trapped in Florida. They don't know where Matt Barzal is. Zdeno Chara, it looks way out of his depth. Like, this is this could still happen. We just need Austin Zarnik to make good on his lack of potential. And that was a season of just convincing yourself. It was a season of hopium and convincing yourself of some outlandish scenarios that just you knew in the back of your mind were never going to come true. And one of them was Zarnik being a productive, regular member of a team that desperately needed them.
Yeah. Before I move on, my favorite, I think, day as an Islanders fan was the day after they swept the Penguins in, 2019. That was the feeling I had never felt before. Just like, I had never remember. I mean, and obviously it all went south in the next series, but they had like a week off and I'm pretty sure I didn't come down for the entire week. Like, I was just like, this is the greatest feeling in the world. I can't even.
It's a good podcast question. And I've thought of two spinoffs here in the last 4 minutes. And one of them is just a deep dive into that opening game at UBS Arena, like going through the roster and how we got to that point. And I was in the building that day. They played pretty well against the Flames, and it was a very eerie feeling to be really, really happy, but at the same time dreading the actual game. And you almost wish they just let you into the building and like that Simpsons meme where the guy walks in, hangs up his hat and leaves, like kind of like that version. And then the other spinoff here is that, what was your favorite single day as an Islander fan? Because it's, and I don't want it to be like just a game, like non-game day almost. But anyways, back to Austin Zarnik and Kiss playing at the finals in the Australian Football League.
Matthew, do you have a quick, your favorite day as an Islanders fan?
I don't know about favorite, but when you guys were talking about yours, my mind went to the New York Saints. Just like, I love
pissing off that was great.
Everybody and like hearing God. Like hearing the Coliseum chant that.
That but, is true. That's a good one.
So good.
Yeah.
As far as band playing in the parking lot was just right. Oh my God. I thought that was heaven to me. Like if I was dead and they were like, oh, no, you're dead. Actually, this is heaven. I'd be like, oh, I always knew heaven was a Coliseum parking lot on a nice afternoon in May.
Yeah. The other one that comes to mind for me is so I live in Denver now, and I was going back to New York for a friend's wedding during the second Lightning series. And I landed at Islip to go to my parents in Suffolk County, landed at Islip. Was like rushing home. My dad like picked up some slices of pizza for me in the car, like get home in time for overtime, and just seeing Anthony Beauvillier score that goal, like missing the entire game, but catching that.
That's great. That's how you do it. You skip out on all that angst and you watch the best part. So those are great choices for sure. And now a word from our sponsors. First is VintageIceHockey.com, where you can get t-shirts, hoodies, jerseys, mugs, and more, featuring over 100 classic hockey logos. Vintage Ice Hockey also carries our Al Arbor and the Island merch, and our portion of the sales always go directly to the Center for Dementia Research. Use the code ANXIETY20 to save 20% off an order of two items. That is vintageicehockey.com. Try wines from the Pinot Project. They offer a rosé, a Pinot Grigio, and a Pinot Noir that was named a 2022 Top 100 Best Buy by Wine Enthusiast Magazine. All are delicious, priced at less than $15 a bottle, and available at local wine shops and at UBS Arena. Learn more at thepinotproject.com. Please drink responsibly.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So Zarnik plays 11 games for the Islanders in the 21-22 season. And then he is unceremoniously placed on waivers. Now, here we are talking about this sort of light scoring, you know, depth forward. Pretty good guy in the AHL, but so far in the NHL hasn't really shown a whole lot. Yeah, who's going to want to pick this guy up? Well, I'll tell you. It's a brand new team, the Seattle Kraken. They went and picked up Austin Zarnik off of waivers. They rolled out the teal carpet for him. They had a whole big thing. He gave a nice little interview. He thanked the Islanders for their time and the organization, first class, blah, 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 all that stuff. And he actually got into six games with the Kraken, scoring two assists. He did play against the Islanders. This part I did know. On February 22nd, the Kraken lost. It was a home game, and the Islanders won. And he was minus two. So good job, sleeper agent Austin Zarnik. Where were you when Austin Zarnik was placed on waivers? And this is kind of a momentous event of this season.
Yeah. I don't remember where I am, but I do remember just being shocked. And I think part of that is because the Islanders don't lose anyone on waivers. Do you know the last person they lost on waivers before Austin Zarnik?
Oh, wow.
Lost on waivers. Well, you know, Ross Johnson was this season, so I don't know.
Is it J.F. Berube?
Close. He's the second closest. It's P.A. Parenteau in his second stint.
Oh, right. The Devils one, yeah.
Oh, Garth. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Garth.
And so they lost P.A. Parenteau, which also means this is the first player under Lou that they lost on waivers.
Right.
So it was just like, okay, you know, you see the waivers come out. It's like, okay, that guy's going to go Bridgeport. And that didn't happen with Austin Zarnik. And so it's just like, why did we lose this guy? And this was after Ross Johnston signed that big contract that everybody was saying. The whole point of it was that he was waiver proof, which of course we know now to be a myth. But it was like, why aren't you sending Ross Johnston down? Like, this Austin Zarnik guy is like the next Connor McDavid. And so I just remember being shocked. And then it is just incredible that he played against the Islanders. It's also funny because earlier in that season, they played and got shut out against the Kraken 3-0 and were just awful. And Austin Zarnik didn't play in that game.
Yeah.
And so you have to think like Ron Francis or someone in Seattle's like, man, we really took it to those Islanders. Like, I wonder why they played so poorly. And it's like, well, they didn't play Austin Zarnik. So he must be the missing piece.
That's right. That's right. I remember thinking, and I might have said this on Anxiety, like all the guys that people were talking about, the Islanders are going to lose on waivers, Hosang, Bellows, you know, even Dal Cole, guys that like had
Durando,
like all these guys that had this upside that people are going to steal and turn into superstars. None of them got picked up. Austin Zarnik is the guy who gets picked up by the Kraken of all, the first expansion Kraken of all places, you know, so funny. I just remember being like, huh? And then of course that got tripled when the Ducks picked Ross Johnson up off of waivers. That was like, come on, really? That's not true. So for six games, Austin Zarnik is a Seattle Kraken. You know, he's playing out there again. He plays six games. Five of them were losses. Only the first one was a win, and he had an assist in that one. And then they lost five next games, including one in overtime to the Bruins. And so the Kraken then put Austin Zarnik on waivers. And according to the NHL waiver rules, which I do not have up and don't want to find because I tried before and I couldn't get it and I don't care. As far as I know, if you pick up a guy, if a team picks up a player off of waivers and they put him back on waivers in a certain time, I think probably inside of a month, the original team that he had come from gets sort of like a right of first refusal, or they get, you know, the first dibs on the waiver priority. And so wouldn't you know it, like a boomerang, Austin Zarnik comes right back to Long Island and right back into the waiting arms of the New York Islanders. But this time he does not play. He did not play with them for the rest of the season. Do you remember when you saw that this guy who was lost on waivers is coming back now? Such an odd thing.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask again, another trivia question. Do you know before Austin Zarnik, who the last person they claimed on waivers was?
Oh God.
Oh my God. Yeah. So this is a conversation we've had. And just about how kind of both ends of this, that Lou is so good at keeping his guys in-house, but at the same time, he doesn't like go off script much. God, let me think here. Last person they claimed on waivers.
I mean, they went through that big spree, but that was under Garth, where they got Mickey and Joe Finley and all those guys. Couldn't have been that.
It's not J.F. Berube, is it?
It is. Yeah, I misspoke.
Wow. That's so funny.
So they claimed Berube in October 2015, and that was the last person they claimed before Austin Zarnik. So again, this was the first waiver claim of the Lou era.
It's crazy.
What I misspoke earlier is the person before Parenteau, who they lost, was fellow Weird Islander Kevin Poulin. But I mean, this again, going back to like what's so weird about Austin Zarnik is like all these things just don't happen also to other Islanders. Like other Islanders don't get lost on waivers. Other Islanders don't get claimed on waivers like to come back to the team. I mean, the only other waiver claim, they've of course lost Bellows and Johnston in the last couple of years, but like the only other claim they made is Mike Riley. And so, and he's, you know, he came from a different team. This is like Lou just being pissed off that someone else tried to like take somebody from him, just gets him back and sends him back to Bridgeport. Doesn't ever even play again for the Islanders.
An angry call to Ron Francis. Ron, this is against the code.
You took my player. I want him back. No, I've got him. And you're going to sit and like it. So I this is so strange. I could have swore he played a game after that, but I guess not. But
Bridgeport made the playoffs in that season. So
That's right. He
did play with the playoff team. And as far as kind of the other Weird Islanders go, Seattle was making a lot of waiver claims. Zarnik, I came with a lot of trivia. Zarnik was one of three consecutive claims for the Kraken. Do you know the other two? I gave the hint with their potential Weird Islanders.
This was the year that they were terrible too, right? This was
their expansion year.
First season.
I don't know.
Chris Gibson? No. Right?
But he was on the Kraken, but it wasn't this little micro period of them taking everybody's eventual Islanders. They on January 17, they claimed Carson Kuhlman from the Boston Bruins. Then they claimed Czarnik on February 8th. In February 9th, they couldn't wait to get their hands on another future Weird Islander. They claimed Dennis Chalowski from the Washington Capitals.
That's right. Oh, man. How could I forget Chalowski?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So this is like how we now have, what is it, like Gauthier, Bellows, and Chalowski, like consecutive draft picks are all Islanders. This is like consecutive waiver claims are all Kraken Islanders.
Oh, my God.
I mean, my mind is blown. I certainly did not think of all this many connections between the Islanders and Kraken. Because as we were saying before we came on, this is the first mention of the Kraken on Weird Islanders, the podcast. So like, boy, they're really going all out as they tend to do. They haven't done anything half-assed so far, the Kraken. So this is pretty wild. You've blown my mind. This is crazy. This is more mind blowing than a guy getting lost on waivers and then coming back, which again almost never happens, and definitely never happens to the Islanders. But it was pretty strange. Like, I just remember being like, "That's so weird." Why? We just laughed about it. Like, I remember just kind of laughing about it and be like, "Yeah, I guess they really need him because again they were so bad. They just needed healthy bodies who didn't have COVID. Like that was the only thing that they really needed. I guess maybe I don't know. Hopefully he didn't have it. I guess he's okay. But that season though, and that return trip from Seattle Tacoma Airport, I guess, back to Long Island, would be the final Islanders stop for Austin Czarnik, because then in the following offseason, he signed with his hometown Red Wings. And listen, you know what? We have to praise, apparently, it's the rule that we have to praise players when they go back to their hometowns. It's a big deal. Some players get praised doing that more than others. I mean, it only works when you sign an $11 million contract, I guess. But Czarnik did go back and played for his hometown Red Wings and is playing there now. First year there was last season, 22-23, 3 goals and 2 assists for 5 points. And then this year, so far, as we record this and on the 1st of February, he's played 18 games for the Red Wings, and he has 1 assist. He had a heck of a season for Grand Rapids, though, last year, 43 games, 14 goals, 23 assists, 37 points. And again, like his AHL numbers are fantastic. They just haven't been able to translate to the NHL numbers. So all told, Austin Czarnik, 15 games with the Islanders over 2 seasons, 2 goals, 3 assists for 5 points. That's it. But you know what? I'm happy for the guy. He's playing for his hometown team. He got a taste of the Islanders. He got a taste of Seattle. Heck, he even scored 5 goals for the Boston Bruins. That's pretty cool. And he got to have a heck of a good season for the Calgary Flames. So I have no beef with Austin Czarnik. I wish him the best. Not something you hear me say often on this show. But do you have, Matthew, like a lasting sense of Austin Czarnik? Like, is there a legacy for him in your mind during his short trip with the Islanders?
Yeah, I think he represents like how we wish every player could be Hudson Fashing to me. Like, we want every guy to turn into like the guy who's in the promos and like has a feel good story and like is a gritty contributor, but they're just not gonna be. And you know, we as Islanders fans just love guys like that, and we wish like all 18 were that, and maybe like 17 and one Matt Barzell or something. And yeah, like we've said, he just represents the dashed hopes of that season and how you're like looking at the standings and you're like, well, like 11 points isn't that much. You know, and I wanted to make sure like I didn't miss anybody else's impressions of Austin Czarnik. So like I went back and listened to like your anxiety episodes around it, like after he scored his first goal, which was, it was like an incredible breakaway goal against the Predators.
They've been a surprise how well they're doing in the standings in the Central Division this year so far.
Oliver Wahlstrom to Czarnik, and he scores! Austin Czarnik set up by Oliver Wahlstrom, and the Islanders draw first blood.
Well, take a look. It's a face-off loss, actually, but great job by Oliver Wahlstrom to get the jump. That's so much what face-offs are all about, help from your wingers. Good hustle by Wahlstrom. He's known for his shot and his release, but how about that setup play? Good hustle, head over his shoulder. He knows that Czarnik is there.
Dashing down the ice, just taps it in. It really is something like you'd expect Hudson Fashing to do. But if you remember that Predators game, that's the one where Noah Dobson, with 10 seconds, just rims it around with to Roman Josi, who, you know, just shoots it in, Ellie Pulvinen just goes in. And so like I listened to the episode and you guys are like, Austin Zornik scores a nice goal, and then like 45 minutes about that Noah Dobbs can play. And like I listened to the episode where you guys where you got lost on waivers, and like at the break you're like, all right, and you know, we're gonna talk about a surprising waiver claim. And then you don't.
What?
And you end up going on like a big rant. It was either about ESPN or the All-Star game. I think it was the All-Star game.
Are you saying that we have a slapdash undisciplined style when it comes to podcasting?
No, because in the episode description
that's exactly what we are.
In the episode description, which I looked at after, because I was like, did I miss something? Did I skip through the ads or something? Because I was just doing Apple, not the Patreon, which you all should subscribe to, because it really is the best.
Thank you.
But in the description, you're like, also, we forgot to talk about Austin Zornik. And so, you know, I think both those moments kind of sum it up for me, where it's just like, yeah, this guy was supposed to be like, he was supposed to be our third line center, maybe our first line left winger or something to Matt Barzal. Like, it just didn't happen, and it was never going to happen. And that season, like you said earlier, Mike, was just binging on hopium, just hoping something will go right. Like, you know, one day Zdeno Chara is going to put it all together and show us, you know, he's still a Norris caliber player. But it just didn't happen.
Wow. Man, this is why I love doing Weird Islanders, because, you know, when we kind of finalize these episodes with the guests and we get the player, and sometimes it's weeks in advance, sometimes days in advance, and you just sit there and you think, and now I've done enough of them that I almost pitch backwards, and I think to myself, where am I going to be at the end of the Austin Zornik episode, or where am I going to be at the end, you know, of the Brian Ralston episode? Because I know how it's going to start. It starts the same way every episode, but I never end up. It's impossible to know where we're going to be at the end of these things, and. To be here, sitting here, and now just thinking about those Kraken waiver claims and the fact that this guy was so for a show that literally rabbit holes about unremarkable Islanders, he was so unremarkable that we forgot to talk about him on Islanders Anxiety. Really, it tells you everything you got to know about the tenure here and that season, which was, like you said, just. Oh man, that was a tough one to get through. There are a lot of dark seasons that we've all been through as Islander fans. That one was uniquely dark, because it was an outlier in an era of hope. And Austin Zornik was just a first mate on a sinking ship that got thrown overboard, and then we found him later, you know, and we brought him back in,
put him
in the brig,
and then like a bottle with a message in it, he bobbed right back up again, and we grabbed him again just to have again. No, this has been a lot of fun. And yeah, I mean, we talk a lot on this show about, like, does this player know what kind of legacy he's left for the Islanders? I don't think that Austin Zornik is sitting around thinking about his Islanders legacy, but I guarantee he definitely didn't expect three guys to spend a part of their Thursday evening talking about his, you know, what was it, 16 games with the 15. Islanders?
15. 15 You're giving games. Him too much credit.
Sorry, yeah, I guarantee he does not think that this is a true thing, but here we are. Final stat line for Austin Zornik with the Islanders. 15 games played, 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points. His Bridgeport numbers were great. 38 games played, 14 goals, 23 assists, 37 points. That's pretty good. But, his final numbers with the Islanders were, shall we say, unremarkable, as Mike put it. But it was a remarkable era that he played here. And I think that he probably recognizes that, even if he thinks that people don't remember him. We do. And so this is proof of that. You could remember even the most unrememberable player, basically. Unmemberable player. Matthew, this has been a lot of fun. I hope we've had a great time. Can you share with us a little bit of some things you might have kind of on the horizon over at Pitchfork, any reviews or articles you might have coming up?
It's a good question. We're recording this a few days before the Grammy Awards, which is a huge annual event for us. Just a lot of news coverage, a lot of takeaways from that sort of thing. So, you know, tune back in, see what we had to say there. Yeah. Otherwise, not too much on the plate right now. A couple of promos I've gotten that I like that I can't really share much about, but, you know, maybe something down the line. Yeah. But you never know, you know, these things kind of come by surprise, and that's a good part of the gig.
Right. Have you ever like snuck an Islanders reference into a review and somebody been like, what the hell are you talking about?
I've not done Islanders, but years and years ago, I was pretty young. I reviewed a single by the British rapper Stormzy. And I had a nice extended metaphor about beloved current at the time, I think, Everton striker Romelu Lukaku. Uh-huh. So that I did get in there. Yeah, but no Islanders yet. We'll see. Right. Maybe we'll compare an album to Austin Czarnik somehow.
Yeah, exactly. That's got to be incredibly different. I mean, shoehorning a sports metaphor into like an album review has got to be hard, but just shoehorn an Islanders metaphor in there has got to be damn near impossible. So we wish you luck in that endeavor.
We'll be
reading if it does happen. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, my handle is MatthewStrauss_. I don't do that much public tweeting, but if you ever want to get in touch with me in the DMs, I'm happy to talk about music, Everton, the Islanders, whatever whatever pops up.
Yeah, definitely do that. This has been a lot of fun. I hope you've had a great time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been a real blast.
Thanks for coming on. And thank you all for listening. Don't forget to sign up at patreon.com/IslandersAnxiety for ad-free episodes and bonus content. Take Matthew's advice. Sign up for Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at IslesAnxietyPod. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and at Spotify. Our theme song is Knuckles by Bjorn Falk. Listen to more of his music at Bandcamp and at Spotify. Read Lighthouse Hockey every single day if you want up-to-date Islanders news and discussion. Islanders Anxiety Podcasts are part of the Fans First Sports Network. Find out more at fansfirstsports.com. Shop vintageicehockey.com. Try Wines from the Pinot Project. Michael Leboff, where can everybody find you on Twitter?
The Big Lebowski with two E's.
Follow Mike at The Big Lebowski. Read and listen to his work at Action Network. Cheer for Everton, as always. And any final thoughts on Austin Czarnik, man of a very strange era in Islanders hockey, who had little to no impact, but somehow kind of did in a way. It's a weird thing.
Yeah, when you look at the two seasons that he was a member of this organization, he got to witness the Islanders and their fans at their best, and the Islanders at their worst. So he saw the hockey gods both smile, what it looks like when the hockey gods smile on the Islanders, and what happens to beer cans in Nassau Coliseum when the hockey gods smile on the Islanders. And he also got to see what happens when the hockey gods, you know, play with their Islanders voodoo dolls. And there is nothing quite like when the hockey gods have it out for this team. And, you know, you can talk about cursed seasons for other teams and in other sports. But man, when you're sitting through an Islanders cursed season and you're playing for the Islanders in a cursed season, you're going to see some weird shit. And Austin Czarnik saw some weird shit, thought he got away from that weird shit, and then was roped right back into that weird shit just a month later. So, thank you for everything, Austin.
There you go. Austin Czarnik is the Ash of Evil Dead of the Islanders. Go figure. Who knew? But thank you all for listening. Thank you, Austin Czarnik, for your time. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with another episode of Weird Islanders, the podcast. Until then, keep the Islanders weird. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.